Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I just got back from Florida Friday night and got a call from Scott and Sarah on Saturday saying, Dad, can you pick us up in Grand Rapids at 10:30? Then I got another text that said our plane's a little bit late. So we were running around in the middle of the night last night getting back. But how many know what my wife Belinda says is true? There's no rest for the wicked, and the righteous don't need any. I said that down there at CI, and Apostle Jane Hammond looked at me, and she said, what? She had just gotten back from an international trip to Norway, and she was, I think, needing some rest. But anyway, the whole CI gang down there in Santa Rosa sends their greetings to you. I saw Bishop Hammond. Got a chance to give him his birthday present, finally. I bought him a pair of socks, but he likes different colors socks, so I got him a pair of socks. And he's 85 and still traveling the nations. He just got back from 3 weeks in Asia and Singapore and Japan and where all kinds of places. And he's in town now. He'll be he's doing a city tour out in Whitaker, California, and he'll be back in for International Ingathering of Apostles and Prophets, which is next week. And then after that, he goes to Bogota, Colombia. So keep praying for our bishop and our traveling ministers. It's great to be around them down there. But I tell you, it's great to be back home. Hallelujah. It's good to sleep in my own bed. Amen. Not only love being around you, but I love my own bed. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to bring a message today, and I will be brief. We've had some extra things that we've done, so don't get too uptight. But I do want to release a thought to you from the throne of God. How many are willing to open their mind and ears and heart just for a minute? Amen. So, Father, we thank you that you cause lips of clay to speak oracles of God, and that you've planted something in the heavens that is now being released through us to your people that you love, the people you died for, the people you care most about, the people you live for, Jesus. And I pray there be a blessing to them, a challenge to them, a building up to them, a comfort to them, and an awakening to them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Well, if I had to choose a text for this whole series of sermons I've been preaching on in the identity God gave us. You know, who you think you are changes a lot about what you do and what you say. You know, it's been said that I don't smoke or drink or chew, and I don't go with girls that do, you know. So why is it that, you know, I don't do certain things? What changes my yeses and my noes? What things do I say yes to, and what things do I say no to? It's just a matter of who I am. I don't do that, you know. That's just not who I am. And so my identity drives how I think and approach life and what I do. And I think God has given us an identity that if we can get our minds around it and really believe what he says is true about us, we'll begin to live out of that life of Christ that's been given to us and that new identity in the family of God. And if I had to choose a text for this series, it'd be 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. And that verse starts out with this word, behold. You can say that with me if you want. Behold. What does it mean? It means look, listen up, look and keep on looking. You know, I'm about to show you something really important, John says. Look and perceive the gravity of what I'm about to tell you. You know, he's about to tell them that they are the sons of the true and living God. We all know this verse. I take it you've memorized it, but I'm reading it as though I'm reading it for the first time. So let us get this revelation down deep in our spirits, where it guides us into the life of God through apprehending, that's a word for you, apprehending the identity God has given us. Not just hear about it, not just give it lip service, but actually get it down deep in your soul that you are the sons and daughters of God. And he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. It's a marvelous manner of love. God didn't just do something small. He did something really outlandish and extravagant to you and I. He could have done anything he wanted to do. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. But what did he do? He bestowed out of his love on us the most outlandish, extravagant thing he could ever do. He bestowed upon us this thing, that we should be called the sons of God. He called it. What happened when God called light? It came. When he bestows something by calling, when it leaves his mouth, it begins to happen, and it keeps happening, and it happens eternally, because once it's gone out of his mouth, it won't come back void. It produces what it is he says. And if he has called us sons of God, then it has now come to pass. It has sprung forth. He called us, and he has called us children of God. God bestows it by his voice. As he said it through Jesus, as he said it through Apostle John in this writing, and as he's now saying it through me to you, it is happening in your very soul right now. He's calling you the sons and daughters of God. Remember, the sons become the bride, and the daughters are the sons. And so in God's mind, we're all sons of God. We're all equal in our inheritance with him. So we're born of God. God has changed our identity from a person born of Adam, born of mankind, born of the human race, born of natural parents, into a new creation, like unto Jesus himself. And he's called us what it is. He's named us what it is. And he's named it and called it sons and daughters of God. Are you beholding this? Behold, John says. Take a look at this. Open up your mind and grasp this. And behold. You know, I've been looking at this revelation, for 41 years. Now, I was in church a long time, but I never really got it until January 10th, 1978, about 10 minutes after midnight. God spoke to me, and it opened my eyes. I had a visitation with the Lord. I had an encounter with Jesus. And now for 41 years, I've been working on getting my mind around the idea that I'm actually a son of the living God. You know, if I really believed it, what would change? I got up the other morning and the Lord said, do you believe you can change? And I know how to answer God sometimes. You know, thou knowest, you know. And I said, yeah, I believe I can change. He says, you know, I've given you the power to change. But you can't keep doing the same thing you've been doing and drive change. Something needs to change. Something needs to change in your prayer life. Something needs to change in your declarations and decrees. Something needs to change in your narrative and what you're saying about yourself. Something needs to change about how you see the world. Something needs to change about how you see the church. Pastor Jeremy wasn't just talking out of his hat when he, or his head, when he said God is up to something big and it's change and change and change again. The church is changing. God's got another idea, another facet. The message is not changing, but we're changing. Our emphasis is changing. How we're approaching the world is changing. God is up to something really big in his church and changing the way it engages the world. And to this point, churches have always been about what can the community do for us. And we're changing to what can the church do for the community and make the impact that we should make. And I'm sure each of you are in the community making an impact now, but we're going to amp that up. It's going to increase. And we're going to be doing some things together to understand how we can better serve the community around us. But this change that God is driving in you and I to get our minds around being children of God, he's changed us from being born of natural parents and changed us into his fatherhood. We've come out of a natural family, and there's actually been a metamorphosis, a change, a transformation in you and I. Our spirits have changed from darkness to light and from the power of darkness to the kingdom of God. And I've been trying to get my mind around this for a long time, and God is helping me. Hallelujah. My success story is not that God has helped me to do what I wanted to do. My success story is I laid down my life of all the things I had in mind, and I went over to him and I said, hey, my driving hasn't been so well here, so good. And I'm ready for you to take charge of my life and to lead me and connect me and release me to serve in the community and in the church the way that you want me to serve. And that was a night-to-day change. And that's when anything I've ever been able to do or succeed in life since that time has been owed to, I do not live now, it's Christ who lives in me. So being born of God, I've been made like unto the Son of God. And behold, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm trying to get my mind around it. And how many know when God says something, it's true whether we believe it or not? Right? If he says we're the sons of God, it's true whether we really can wrap our mind around it or not. And, you know, there's a couple of chairs back there. If I tell you that's a chair and you can sit in it, you can say, well, I don't believe that's a chair. And it's still a chair, folks, you know, whether you believe it or not. But it only really counts if you believe it, if you sit in it. And I'd invite you to sit in one of those chairs before you leave and get used to them, because I'm pretty sure by Christmas time, these pews will be out of here and the chairs will be in here. And we want the chairs for a couple of reasons. One is they do sit better than pews. But the real obvious reason is we can utilize this space a lot better. When we have small group meetings, we can actually put chairs in a circle. How many are sometimes get tired of looking at the back of the person's head in front of you? Huh? And we should have, you know, when we build a new facility, hopefully we'll have a little different arrangement than sitting there looking at the person's head in front of you. And also, it would make a better place for fellowship and having fellowship meetings, because we have bathrooms up here. And some of the folks are getting a little challenged at getting down the stairs and back up again. So there's many reasons why we want to do that. But one of the things we want to do is just change the look. Sometimes to get change, you have to make change. And so we just really believe that's something that the Lord would have us to do as a congregation. And what we're trusting God is, there are $40 a piece. What I'm trusting God for is that you'll sit in them and you'll say, wow, Gloria would really like to sit in one of those. I think I'll buy one for her. And I'll buy one for her friend and another friend and another friend. In fact, I'm going to believe God to fill up five right here on this front row, which where I usually sit. So I'm going to buy five for there. It's $40 a piece. What is that? A couple hundred bucks. So I'm going to buy, like a half a row, because I want to buy them for Belinda and for Enos and Diane Chamberlain that'll be here, and others that'll come. I want to buy for them. Now, you can't buy yourself a chair, because if you ever get mad and leave, I don't want you to take it with you. Okay? So you got to buy it for your neighbor and for those you're going to invite to come. Don't buy it for yourself. It won't work. Okay? Praise the Lord. Well, you can sit right over here. Or you can have the pulpit. You can stand right here. This will work fine. Hallelujah. I know it's hard to behold. It's hard to grab hold of. Hard to understand all that it means. But your Father is God. And through the Apostle John or me or whoever is speaking to you right now by the Spirit of God, you are who the Bible says you are. And what that means is, you're more valuable than the sparrows. You're more valuable than the ravens. It means you don't have to be anxious for anything. It means you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be intimidated. It means that you don't have to wonder, is there a purpose in my life? Is there a destiny for me? Will God, like in Sister Altressa's case, will God provide for me? Will God help me in such a drastic change as a move to a completely different place? Yes, yes, yes. God is your Father. He's never let me down. He'll never let you down. And you don't ever, ever have to be in a discomfort from which there's not a comfort coming from heaven. Listen to me. God is called the God of all comfort, who comforts us in every trial. What that means is, you are an individual. You have an individual trial. There's an individual comfort coming from heaven to meet that trial. The other day I was praying for folks, and I thought of George. And so when I think of somebody, I usually call them. Does that happen to you? I hope it does. Because that means they're struggling, and God is pulling your chain, and he's giving you a heart of compassion to call and make a difference. And he was really ill. He had some reaction to some medicines. And he answered the phone. He sounded like he was on his last leg, and the other one was on a banana peel. But you were hurting, weren't you, George? And I called at the right time. Doesn't that make you feel good when you call at the right time? Amen? But that's what I mean. God has a comfort coming to you. And that's why you need community. Your identity will be validated in community. Let me say that again. Your identity will be validated in community. The community of the believers will speak into your life. You heard several words of prophetic encouragement coming to Sister Altressa. And she'll treasure those words. Those words are life. Those validate your decisions, validate your identity, validate your destiny, validate your purpose. There's an identity validation in community. We need each other. God is our Father. Jesus didn't say, pray, my Father in heaven. He said, our Father in heaven. The scripture doesn't say, if God be for me, who can be against me? It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He wants to give you an inheritance. He wants us to become just like Jesus. This is why he birthed us into his family. His mercies new every morning, Lamentations 3:22-23, and his mercy endures forever, Psalms 136. You should read Psalm 36 sometime. It goes over and over and over and over. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Why is that important? Because anytime we're struggling, we can turn to the Lord, and the mercy of God is there. Romans 8 says this in 28, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called. What are we called? Sons and daughters of God. What are you called to? Well, I'm called to pastor. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to this ministry or that. I'm called to the marketplace. I'm called to be a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. I'm called. Yes, those are all callings. But your highest calling is to be the sons of God. In eternity, that's all that survives. This whole world is burned up in fire in the end of the age, right? And there's a new heaven and a new earth. The only thing that make it through the fire is you and me as sons and daughters of God. And he says everything works together for those that are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So the whole purpose of all these life trials that Jeremy talked about that we're going through, they're all working for our good. That's why James said you can rejoice in various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith, that being much more precious than gold, will come through the fire and you'll be matured in the things of God. He said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and moreover, whom he did predestine, these he also called. Whom he called, those he justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. The glory of the sons of God is now being revealed. The Bible says in the Passion Translation of this same verse from 1 John 3, it says, look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. And then it goes on to say, and I'll close with this, it says, the reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they did not recognize him. Just like in Jesus' hometown, right, his people said, this is just a carpenter's son. They didn't realize that he was the Son of God. The world will not recognize you, but the angels of heaven recognize you. Demons recognize you. The devil knows who you are. But there's more with us than with them. Amen. And we overcome in all things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The sons of the living God. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. It's important for you and I to think rightly about who we are in Jesus. I do something every morning, and I'm going to have you stand up, and we'll close with this. Maybe this is a good way to close today. I didn't know if I was going to share this or not, but I think I will. You can go ahead and stand up with me. I have something called a narrative. I do have it all typed out. It's in my computer. And I say this. This is my self-talk. This is what I say about myself every morning. It says, I am created in God's likeness, discovering who he made me to be. Are you still discovering who God made you to be? I am. I say this, I follow the vision of Father God and the voice of God Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, in wisdom, order, and rule. I follow God precisely and consistently. Say, why do you say that? Because I have a hard time following God concisely, consistently. And so I need to be telling myself every morning, that's my intention. Because I'm a son of God, this is what I believe about myself, and this is what I do. I say this, my obedience is my weapon of war. That comes from Romans 16, 19, 20, right? Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Your best weapon of warfare is obedience. I say this, my father is up to something really big, bigger than I can imagine. Say that with me. My father is up to something big, bigger than I can ever imagine. And then I say, I am that something. Together with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I will be led by the hand of the Lord to see great things I never imagined possible. There's about 7 or 8 other confessions here, but I won't share them with you. They're about eating right, exercising, getting sleep, stewarding my wealth. I mean, I have to talk myself into the discipline of being what I believe sons and God of daughter ought to be. There's a whole other page on gifts of the Spirit, loving, helping, serving. You know, then I go into prayers for my family and prayers for you. I tell you, it's time for us to begin to believe we are the sons of God and daughters of God and begin to have a prayer life, a confession and declaration that we appreciate. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this promise. And we behold, we are the sons and daughters of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're making this a reality in us and that you're causing us to see and hear and understand what it is you're awakening us to in this generation. Cause us, Lord, to go out from this place, to be connected to those we should invite to see the Lord, to see you in us, to invite them to be introduced to the Savior and King who will make them their Father as well. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you.